Like to ask you to take your notes and follow along in the Psalm of Thanksgiving, which I've entitled this sermon, because as a Thanksgiving message, I thought, what better book to use than Psalms, which is the book in the Bible that speaks much about Thanksgiving. And so we're going to refer to it quite a bit and use various Psalms and statements in Psalms that'll help us to have a framework for Thanksgiving. So hopefully your Thanksgiving with your family might be blessed by God. Whoever offers praise, that's another word for Thanksgiving, glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct rightly, shall I show the salvation of God. So Thanksgiving is an important concept and truth for any person, because when you get into a mode of Thanksgiving towards God, he starts revealing things to you. We live in a very cynical world, in a very dark world, and people have a lot of hopelessness. There's also a lot of loneliness in our lives in America today. But I think that if you start understanding that Thanksgiving for a relationship that is primary, you and God, is the beginning of a life-changing kind of a experience, because once you get into this Thanksgiving thing, it's the antidote to cynicism, towards negativism, and towards seeing things always as it's raining or the sky is falling. So let's look about reasons for why we should be thankful as believers, and perhaps even if you're not a believer, you'll start with this. You should be thankful to God because of who God is. God should be thanked for simply being God. The scriptures reveal that the thanklessness of the world at the end of time will be one of the reasons that the judgment of God falls upon the world, that they fail to give thanks to God anymore. They fail to recognize him who gives life and breath and water and family and relationship and the earth and everything else. They fail to give thanks to him. We need to thank God because of, first of all, not for what he has done or given us, but who he is as a person. That's the essence. That's why the Lord's Prayer begins that way. Our Father who art in heaven, acknowledge who he is, where he is, and what he is. So in Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. This is an acknowledgement of his possession. His position. And in Psalm 97, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. So the psalmists they're calling us to a thanksgiving for who he is. Psalm 107, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So we should give thanks to God because of who he is. Also in Psalm 7:17, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So these thanksgiving prayers, if you will, in the book of Psalms are directed at what he is and what he's like. Psalms 54, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Again, the focus being he himself. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If God wasn't this way, if God was capricious, random, if he lost his patience all the time, if he was angry all the time, it would be a real difficult thing to have a thankful heart towards him. But in spite of all of our failure, in spite of all of the darkness all around us, in spite of our pettiness, we can give thanks to God because he is good, he is merciful, he is loving, he is kind, and these are the things that should evoke praise and thanksgiving from your heart. There are two ways, there's many ways, but I'm going to focus on two here, two ways to thank him for who he is. There's two ways. One is singing to him. I know there are those, I've met many people who have told me, I don't sing, and so I don't go to church until the music is over. I think you're missing out. I think that even if you don't like to sing, that you should come and you should be part of the worship of the Lord in singing, because singing is prayer set to music. That's all singing is. It is prayer set to music, should we say religious praise. And even if you can't sing a note, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord isn't concerned about the tonality. He's concerned about the heart. Somebody might actually have perfect pitch and tonality and musical ability and even sing in Christmas cantatas and orchestras and Handel's Messiah. And they may be able to sing all of these wonderful pieces with great skill. But if their heart has no belief in it, then that's all it is skill. It's just human skill. And anyone can sing on key. But to sing from the heart, to sing because God has come into you, to sing even though you're out of tune. And that's why I am not that concerned about whether people are singing in tune or not. It doesn't really bother me that much. Obviously, when I want to listen to good music, I want to have that. But when it comes to letting people express praise and thanksgiving by singing, we shouldn't be sticklers about this. Maybe if you don't like the way the guy or the gal sings next seat to you, you can move over to the next row if you want. But singing to the Lord with all of your heart, I mean, a lot of people, when they sing and it looks like they're angry when they're standing there. This whole thing of raising your hands and just closing your eyes and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, a lot of people get uncomfortable around that. And I would ask you to just surrender that. There's nothing wrong with raising your hands and thanking the Lord and closing your eyes and saying that you love Him. Now, those of you who have no problem with that, you need to not look down on the guys who don't do that. So it's vice versa. So you need to sing with them with all your heart. This is one of the ways that you can thank Him for who He is. Psalm 147:7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. This would be David, who was the harpist. He used the harp when he was shepherding sheep. He probably wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," when he was doing that, taking care of sheep while he was just watching them and just making music and writing. So he was singing with instruments. Now, some churches and denominations think that the instrumentation of music is sinful and that only the human voice is the instrument we're supposed to use. Then you'd have to disregard all of these admonitions in the scriptures to use trumpets and harps and lyres and percussion and all kinds of musical instruments. Ephesians 5, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul the Apostle is saying that singing to the Lord is a way of communication. We can sing to each other. We can speak to each other in song. And that's why it's so important, I think, to be part of the praise, part of a worship service. You shouldn't just show up to sermons because they're not sung, although in some rabbinical settings, there's a cantor and they sing the scriptures to the people. And so I think you need to allow the Lord to help you to move into a place where you can worship Him and sing. Even if you don't like to sing, just remain quiet and join in your spirit if that's all it is for you. Do it. You're going to be in the presence of the Almighty God one day if you're saved, and there's going to be such ongoing praise that if you don't like that, you're not going to know what to do. There's going to be a lot of ongoing praise all the time in eternity. So get used to it now. And this is one of the ways you can thank Him for who He is. Break out in song. It even says in the Psalms that the mountains clap and the trees and the oceans, they roar and they make music to the Lord. We should join in this chorus. It's a joining. Some people say, well, angels don't sing. I think angels sing. I think you're going to be amazed when you get there. I think you're going to be way amazed. Two ways to thank Him for who He is. Here's the second way. Because of what He has done. So you thank Him for who He is and because of what He has done. Psalm 52, I will praise You, God, forever and ever for what You have done. So you have to stop there and ask yourself, well, what has He done? He has done a lot. People say, what is God doing? Why doesn't He do something? He's always doing. He's giving life and breath and everything else to everybody all around you, the birds, the animals. You see a bee, that's the only time you're going to see it. You see a bird, you may never see that bird again, but you may have heard it chirp or make a song. God has done all of these things. He does so much. He sent his son. He sent his prophets. He sent his word. He sends his blessing. He sends his forgiveness. He has our history with the people of God all the way through back to Genesis. He has done and done and done. And people are unaware much of what he has done because no longer is there any biblical literacy in the culture. So a lot of people have no reason to give thanks to God. But if you were to simply stop and think of all of the things that God has done for you in your life, you would give thanks to him. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good, an English derivation of the name God. Your name is God. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. So there's that admonition to come together with the people of God and praise with them. So those of you who are waiting until just the sermon starts and no singing, you're missing out. You're missing out. You're missing more than half of the worship service. You should also thank him because he created you. You exist, and you exist because God willed that you would exist. If he willed that you wouldn't have existed, then you never would have. Let them praise the name of the Lord, Psalm 148:5. For he commanded, and they were created. You and I and the animals and the birds and the mountains and the trees and the plants and the fish and the water and the sky and the stars and the angels, he created it all. And this is one of the reasons we should give thanks to him, because he created us. As I mentioned at the beginning, in Revelation, it is actually declared by one of the angels that God's judgments are just upon this world when he finally does judge it at the end of time, because they failed to give thanks to him who created the fountains of the deep and gave to them everything else. You should be thankful to him because he saved you. At the gates of Jerusalem, Psalm 9, verse 14, I will praise you. I will rejoice because you saved me. If you're not saved, you have no reason to give thanks to God. If you're unsaved, you'll have an unthankful spirit to God because you cannot thank him until you realize that your soul was in danger of perdition. Your soul was in danger of being separated from God and God's life forever. And he came into your life. He gave you a knowledge of who he is and what he is and his salvation. And because of that, you can then break out in song because he saved you. He also answers your prayers. Most of us, when we pray for stuff or things or needs. My back hurts, my uncle's sick, or I need a job, or I need a house or a car. There's nothing wrong with praying for these things. Although Jesus said, don't worry about it. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. First, seek the kingdom of God, and he'll grant you everything else. He answers your prayers when you put them in the right priority, though. Psalm 118, I will give you thanks, God, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. This is the psalmist speaking of him in a place where he was searching for God, looking for God, asking for God to come to him, and God did. And God became salvation in his life. You should give thanks to God also because he does guide you. If you let him, if you're open to listening to what he's saying, he will guide you. And even when you're not totally aware of this, I had someone speak to me last week about this. They said, even though I was being kind of disobedient and not listening to God, he was still guiding. He was still watching out for me. Psalm 16:7, I praise the Lord because he advises me. Even at night, I feel his leading. If you don't know this in your personal life with God, then I would ask that you start asking him for it. Ask him to advise you. Ask him to guide you. Jesus said, I will send you a counselor. He will guide you into all truth, the Holy Spirit who will live in you. You need to ask him. You need to sense his guiding and leading in your life. Life isn't some random set of occurrences that there is no order or purpose to. God has a design. And once you come into that understanding of the design and the destiny of God in your life, you'll be able to sense that, yes, he's leading me in this. Yes, he led me here. He's led me there. Even when I wasn't following him, it seems like he was leading me. You should be thankful to God also because he died for you. In Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we humans were still powerless, that's to say lost, Christ died for the ungodly, that would be us. He died for us while we were still in ungodliness and death. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly die. But God, he demonstrates, he shows his love for us in this truth, that while you and I were still in sin, while we were still sinners, still rebels, like Christ on the cross, Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do, Christ died for us. That's the kind of God he is. You can give thanks to him because he died for you, even though you were living la vida loca and you were acting as if there was no God. He still gave his life for you. And failure to recognize that is something that will result negatively to your own detriment. There are two ways to thank him for what he has done. So you thank him for who he is, and you thank him for what he has done. The reason you start with thanking him with who he is because that puts it in the correct perspective. Our Father who art in heaven. Then you say, give us this day our daily bread. So then you begin to give thanks. That's why Jesus set up that prayer the way he did, to give us the perspective or the outline of first acknowledge him, who he is, where he is. He's on his throne. He's your Father. He loves you. Then ask him for your needs. Tell others about him. You can thank him for what he has done in saving you, in helping you, in guiding you, in forgiving you, in leading you, in providing for you, by telling others about this. This is one of the ways that you give thanks to him. You must tell somebody else about him. How can you, if you know God now, how can you keep that to yourself? If you had the cure to some incurable disease, AIDS or cancer or any other horrible thing, MS, and you held it and kept it to yourself, wouldn't you be called a monster? Wouldn't you be looked at in a human perspective as somebody that has no feeling, no care or concern for your fellow man? If you know God and you have the answer to life and to salvation and to eternity, and you never speak about it, how much do you love your family? How much do you love your wife, your husband, your children, your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your coworkers? How much do you love them? I really like so-and-so. They're my best friend. Well, have you ever told them the most important thing that they could ever hear from you? Have you ever told them about God? Yeah, but if I tell them, they might not like me anymore. Well, it's not an issue of whether they like you. You need to introduce them to your bestest best friend. His name is God. In that day, you will say, Isaiah 12, verse 4, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, proclaim that his name is exalted. So the admonition is to make known who he is and what he has done. Proclaim his name and his person amongst the peoples of the world. Jesus said it this way to the disciples, go ye into the whole world, tell them all about me. Tell them everything that I have taught you. Make known my name in this world. We are tasked by God to do this. Indeed, this is the only reason that you and I are still on earth. It's the only reason, is to show others and to demonstrate to others and to model to others the love, the forgiveness, the relationship of God to people around us. If you have that, show it. Speak of it. Romans 1:16, Paul the Apostle says here, I am not ashamed of it. Of what? The gospel, the news of God, the good news of God. That's what the word gospel means, God's good news. Because this good news is God's power. It saves anyone who believes in it. When you share it with somebody, they might say, I didn't know that, and they might get saved. Because this is not from you, it's from him. Once you tell somebody about it, then they are now responsible to God for it. So once they believe or disbelieve, things happen. For those who believe, it's salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. You can share about God and Jesus to and with anyone, even if you get rejected, even if they say, don't talk to me anymore. At least you did your best to tell them God loves you, God cares for you, God wants you to have forgiveness and relationship with him. The other way you can thank him for what he has done is by giving him a thank offering. A thank offering is an offering that is selfless. A lot of people, we live our lives in a selfish way, and we just live for ourselves. By giving to God, it's a selfless act. There was actually a law in the Jewish people's law code where the Lord says, if you want to give a thank offering to me, and you're walking by the tabernacle, just heave it over the top of the wall. It's a thank offering. There was rules for thank offerings that were really cool. Just because you were happy, just because God had given you a good harvest or a new cow or a nice season or a new wife, or maybe he healed you of a disease, you could give him thanks in an offering. Put your money where your mouth is. If you really are thankful to God, what do you do with your money? If your money is all for you and you only, then I doubt that you have that much thankfulness to God. And you'll find out at the end of time that anything that you have, money or otherwise, it came from him. It was his anyway. Give an offering to show thanks to God, Psalm 50, verse 14. Give God Most High what you have promised. Give an offering. Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 10. The pilgrims didn't come up with thanksgiving. They didn't invent it. They simply copied it. They learned of it. And do you know where? In the Bible. They learned of it from the Jewish people and their relationship to God. Back in Deuteronomy, God commanded it to the Jewish people. Count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord by giving him a free will offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. So God commands them to have thanksgiving. He says, start counting off from the first time of harvest to the time of 7 weeks, and then give God a free will offering. What's free will? It's not coerced. It's not commanded. It's not, you got to do this, and if you don't, I'm going to cut you off. This has to come from your heart. That's why it says in Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. Give to him. Give back to him. He's given to you. Give to him. How do I give to him? Find a church to give to. Find a Christian mission to give to. Find a missionary to give to. Find an orphan to give to. If you don't have money to give, then go give some time at the homeless shelter. Go feed people at the food line. Volunteer somewhere and do something like visit the old folks' home. Give of your time and of your assets and your money to the Lord, and he'll bless you for it. Giving causes others to be thankful. In Corinthians, Paul the Apostle said it this way, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What he was saying is this, they, the Corinthian church, gave money to the apostles. The apostles took that money to another church that was barely making it, didn't have any food, and they gave it to them. They said, where'd this come from? Well, the Corinthians had extra and they gave it to us to give to you. And that made them give thanksgiving. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. They give thanks because they're saying, wow, people love God so much that they cared about me and they gave you money to because they cared about me. So thank you, God, because of the service by which you have proven yourselves. And men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Thanksgiving. Now, some people, they say, I gave and they never said thank you to me. That's not why you should give. Because you don't give so that you can be recognized of men. Jesus said not to do that. Jesus said give because God sees that you give. And if you give with the right intent and with the right heart attitude, whether they say thank you or not is between them and God. For all you knew, they're very thankful and they don't know how to say thankful. Maybe they don't know who gave them the money. I had a guy who told me, I used to give money to this guy and he never said thank you. Well, you don't know if that money sustained him and his family and what he was doing. And we'll see in the end of time the thankfulness that will come from every kind act that is done when you give. Now, some people say, well, when I come up to the guy in the corner, the street corner, I don't give to them because I give to the food kitchen. Well, that's acceptable. Just because you don't give money directly to a guy begging doesn't mean that you're not caring, because we all know that there's so much substance abuse now that we have to be careful. There's even signs around the city here that say, give to the food bank, give to the homeless shelter. That helps them on the street corner. You need to be thankful to God because of what he has promised you and me and the world. He has promised something that is so beyond description. Eternal glory, eternal heaven, eternal forgiveness, eternal life, forgiveness of sin. That when you and I understand this, you can give thanks even when the worst thing happens to you. In this case, there was a woman who had lost her brother in death. And Jesus, speaking to her, told her this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies like your brother. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is the promise that I always go to when I think of the deaths in my family. My father, my sister, my son, my nephew. I mean, whoever else it is, because it will continue to happen in this world. And I want to encourage any of you who have lost loved ones in your life. Don't despair. If there's belief, if you have faith, if you understand who God is, he will give to you a total assurance of even what happened to them. Many have asked me, well, what if they were never saved? What if they never said yes to Jesus? Well, first of all, you don't know that. You don't know what they said in the last breath of their life. If they asked God to come into their heart, or if they asked the Lord, like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told him, tonight you'll be with me in eternal glory. So let's not worry about whether or not you knew they were saved on earth. Let's simply focus on the fact that God says, whoever believes in me will never die. You can thank him for that, even if you are kind of dubious about your loved one who, as far as you know, was an atheist, God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting person. We don't know what happened to somebody in the last moment of their life. God does. In Matthew 6:33, the thing that you should want most in God's kingdom and is doing what God wants. Then all of the other things that you need will be given to you. Jesus was speaking here in Matthew 6 about the worries that we have. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How am I going to have housing? He says, don't worry about these things. The Lord knows you need all of these things. Thank him for promising that he'll take care of all of those things. First, look for him. Then he'll take care of everything else. In Hebrews 13, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never forget you. So when we understand that he has promised these things, we don't have to worry about what happens, whether or not I get what I think I need. Just be satisfied with what God has given you up to this point. Now, thankfulness is an act of eternal worship. When you are thankful to God, you are doing an action that you will do in eternity forever. It is an action that when you get to eternity, you will always do. It is a picture in Revelation. Before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. The one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold in their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and is to come." Now here's the eternal act, watch, of thanksgiving. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, or our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." How often do they do this? As often as the living creatures fall down in front of him. How often do they fall down in front of him? They fall down in front of him all the time. So when you and I get into thanksgiving, you get into an act of eternal worship. That's where we're going. An act of eternal worship. A place of eternal praise. A place where we will continually give thanks and praise and honor to God. Because in this life that we live in this world that we exist in, hardly anybody's doing it. Even many of the churches and many of the denominations have gotten off of giving thanks to God, making him central, making him foremost, making him first. And that is the goal that we have as a church, is to keep him there. Though everyone else around us denies him, even if my own family denies him, I will never deny him. I don't want to deny him, because I know that he is the one that is worthy of my praise and my thanksgiving. I constantly remind my own children, the only reason you exist is because God came into my life. But because before God came into my life, I wasn't even thinking of marriage. I wasn't even thinking of having family. I was thinking of la vida loca, and that's all I wanted to do. I had no concept of building and building for the future and having a family. So they owe their existence to the fact that God came into this poor sinner and set him straight. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you have done, what you have promised. Help us in this Thanksgiving season, especially since this year, of all of the years that have happened lately, this year is so full of disappointment, so full of stolen promise, so full of failed businesses and failed income and failed possibilities. Yes, many people have even lost life through this year's pandemic, and others have lost businesses, and many have lost friendships over the political fracases that are going on. We pray, Lord, that in spite of all of this, you would give to your people a sense of thanksgiving. For we know that in all of this, even in this terrible year, that it's difficult to give thanks in. Many people have had to face eternity. Many people have had to face mortality. Many people have had to face the real possibility of getting an illness that might take them out of this world into the next. So we are thankful that you use all of the things of life and you orchestrate them all perfectly to bring people to their senses so that they may come into the thanksgiving that is God's alone. Amen.